The Memphis Grizzlies won 56 games last season, tied a franchise record, but a lot of the talk was about Ja Morant, and deservedly so. The other guy in the backcourt, Desmond Bane, he was really good too. So guess what? We're going to talk about why Desmond Bane, as great as he was last season, is still underrated, and why this year could be another big year for the third-year guard coming up on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, DeMichael Cole, beat writer for the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, Tennessee. We're deep into the summer months now. You're starting to see a lot of these pro-am videos. You're starting to see a lot of these shooting workouts. And quite frankly, you're starting to see so many videos. I like to call it the time of the year where no one misses a shot. Because every video you see, you're not seeing missed shots unless you're watching live games. You're not seeing missed shots. And a lot of us aren't watching live games in the summer. You're watching these guys pro-am highlights, and they aren't showing the misses. You're watching these guys go through shooting workouts, and it's straight makes. So this is a time of the year where no one misses a shot. Everyone is 100% three-point shooter. Everyone's 100% from the mid-range and all of the above. But since we're talking about shooters, no one of the top shooters in the league is Desmond Bane. He's going to be the focus of this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. But thank you, Locked On Grizzlies fan, for making Locked On Grizzlies one of your first listens and watches each and every day. You know where you can find us, but if you don't know where you can find us, we're everywhere, just like the air, as I like to say. So Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, if you like to listen, can find us anywhere. If you want to go watch Locked On Grizzlies, go over to YouTube and subscribe. We hit 1,000 subscribers a couple weeks ago. So again, thank you to everyone who has subscribed to Locked On Grizzlies on YouTube and helped us reach the 1,000 mark. And let's keep going. We appreciate all the comments, all the commentary from the listeners. We always incorporate your ideas, your thoughts into our coverage and how we can make Locked On Grizzlies even better going forward. One player who's going to have to be even better going forward is the guy I keep mentioning, and that's Desmond Bane. And some people wonder, well, how? How can he get better going forward? There's a lot of ways Desmond Bane can get better. We saw the jump from year one to year two, and it positioned itself, you know, to play out that way. This is a guy who came off the bench as a rookie but had a really good rookie year. You saw the potential, and the Grizzlies invested into him in the summer. How did they invest in him? One, traded away Grayson Allen. Said, hey, we need to free up some space in the backcourt for this guy, Desmond Bane. So they traded away Grayson Allen. And in summer league, they kind of went all in on a Desmond Bane experience. Put him at point guard in some uncomfortable positions that made him focus on playmaking more. And we saw over the course of the season how those things really worked out. He called it one of the most uncomfortable stretches, you know, he's had playing basketball. So Desmond Bane got all of the toolage, got all the coaching, you know, from Taylor Jenkins, Darko Rajkovic, the Grizzlies' lead assistant. All of those guys invested a lot of time into making Desmond Bane have the type of jump he did. And, oh, he went crazy. We're talking about a guy that averaged 18 points, 4 rebounds, 2.7 assists in his sophomore season. And this is coming out to being in 2020-2021 season, he was an all-rookie player. Took another incredible jump. He solidified himself as one of the best young shooters in the NBA. And not just that, one of the best shooters, period. So this episode is more about, you know, what people need to know about Desmond Bane. Because what people know about Desmond Bane is he can shoot the ball. So we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about Desmond Bane shooting the ball. You can ask anyone in the league. They know that. I've told this story a few times. All-Star weekend in Cleveland. You know, Desmond Bane is in the Rising Stars game. I'm going up to Isaiah Stewart, Cade Cunningham, all these different players who were Rising Stars, Tyrese Maxey. The list goes on. Tyrese Halliburton. I went up to all these different guys. And I asked him, I said, when you think about Desmond Bane or guarding him and things like that, what comes to mind? Everyone that I asked, literally every single player said shooter. Every single player. Every single player identified Desmond Bane as a shooter. And with that in mind, it's simple. It's a simple thing here. The league is aware of his shooting ability. We saw it in the playoff series against Golden State. Golden State made it a focus to stay attached to Desmond Bane. Before the series, I asked Steve Kerr a question going into that series. When it comes down to Ja Morant and Desmond Bane, who I think, you know, one of the best backcourts in the NBA at this point, just because of how well they play off of each other. You have this guy who is tacking downhill, one of the best finishers in the game, and you have one of the best shooters in the game. It's a hard thing to stop simultaneously. It's hard to stop both of those guys at one time. As we saw with the Timberwolves in that first round playoff series, the Timberwolves kind of controlled Ja Morant's paint scoring better than any team we saw this past season. But with the way that they dominated Ja Morant, or with the way they contained Ja Morant scoring in the paint, Desmond Bane got a lot of shooting opportunities, and he shot off in that series. And right along with Brandon Clark, he was the reason that the Grizzlies won that series. So I asked Steve Kerr, I said, how do you stop both of these guys? And he basically, you know, paraphrasing, said that you kind of have to, you know, lend more attention to stopping one or the other. You know, it's usually hard to stop two guys like that at once. So over the course of the Grizzlies Warriors series, it was interesting to see who would the Warriors have more success at stopping. As the stats showed, that guy was Desmond Bane. Ja Morant, while he was playing in that series, he was putting up crazy, silly numbers scoring the basketball. Whereas Desmond Bane he wasn't shooting the basketball well. Now, he was also dealing with the back injury. I do want to throw that out there as well. He was really stiff. It was impacting a lot of his movements. There were times where halftime during games, we would see him, you know, with back support on his back. So he really grinded through that series, Desmond Bane, that is. And he talked about just this offseason really focusing on building up his endurance to be better prepared to take on the course of the playoffs. But we know about the shooting. Grizzlies fans saw it better than anyone. Desmond Bane can shoot the ball from the corners, right wing, left wing, top of the key. As in fact, Basketball University, a page that I've recently started following on Twitter, really posted some interesting advanced analytical stats. It's NBA University, I'm sorry, NBA underscore University. They posted the best shooter from each spot during the 2021-22 season. Desmond Bane was the best top-of-the-key three-point shooter at 49%. He shoots 49% from three-point range at the top of the key. If you watch the Grizzlies last season, you know a lot of those were transition threes. A lot of those was coming off a pick, one dribble. A lot of those were, you know, fly-by three-point attempts. But Desmond Bane shooting the basketball, it was more than just spot-ups. I think When you think about him on a national level, people think, oh, he's a really good spot-up shooter. I mean, that's what they think of a lot of these shooters, right? Desmond Bane really showed that there is more to his game than just catching the ball and shooting it this past season. For one, he was really good at setting his feet, coming off of screens and coming off of, you know, cuts and things like that and taking those type of three-point shots. The Grizzlies ran a lot of actions for him to get him those types of shots as well. He was consistent. There was only a couple times this past season where I really remember there was a stretch at the beginning of the season, and then there was the stretch right after the All-Star break where Desmond Bane struggled from three-point range over a 3-4 game stretch. Outside of that, it didn't happen. The guy was insanely consistent over the course of the season from three-point range, and, you know, that just comes from the reps. And then there's the mid-range game. I really think Desmond Bane took a step in terms of when guys ran him off the three-point line, he took a dribble, took two dribbles, and gets to that mid-range shot. He likes to tear around the free throw line, top of the key. But as he continues to develop that shot, focuses more on that shot, and adds more around that shot, we're talking about a potential three-level dominant scorer. Because around the rim, again, this is a guy who's strong. The reason Desmond Bane fell to where he did in the draft, 30th pick for the Grizzlies, was because of all the, you know, the nerdy stuff, I like to call it. His arms are too short, and his age and things like that. Just turn on the film. Everything that we're seeing, you talk to the people down at TCU and you talk to the people who know Desmond Vane from high school, they're not surprised. They're not surprised. This is what they've been seeing. It's the NBA, so you know, it is the top level of basketball in the world, but this is what they've been seeing. So there are some other things that they've been seeing as well, but there are some things that he's adding to his game, Desmond Vane, that is. Everyone knows about the shooting. Everyone saw how consistent he was over the course of the year, and then I just mentioned the mid-range game. Desmond Vane has some other skills that are vastly underrated. We're going to talk about those after the break. But before we get to that, I want to talk to something that may be underrated to you, but it's not to me, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is absolutely some of the best premier chocolate you can get out there right now. Everyone knows I'm a white chocolate cookies and cream Built Bar guy, but they have white almond, coconut almond, mint brown, all these different types of flavors, and they're all 100% real chocolate. You can't forget that part. It's 100% real chocolate, but just like they emphasize the taste, there's also an emphasis on health as well. Built Bar is also a very healthy option while trying to give you that tasty taste that a lot of healthy bars really don't do these days. But you also have the Built Bar Puff. You have so many different options. So look, go over to built.com right now. All you have to do is put in the promo code LOCKED15. Go get your Built Bar and you can get 15% off your order. Again, go to built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and you can get 15% off of your Built Bar order. Well, the Grizzlies right now, it looks like that contract with Desmond Vane is a discount with the way that he's shooting the basketball, the way he's scoring the basketball, and just with the season that he had. So everyone noticed the shooting. We just mentioned all those great things that he did as a shooter. He's one of the top shooters in the NBA, but there are some other skills that he's not going to be put in the top conversation of the NBA about. But quite frankly, he was a big reason the Grizzlies succeeded because of these things. The number one thing is the way he and Steven Adams play off of each other. So let me go in a little more detail with that, because Steven Adams is one of those names, you know, he's on the final year of his contract, $17 million, and people wonder, hey, how valuable is he? You know, he's very valuable to Desmond Vane. Very valuable to Desmond Vane. There was a lot of times last season, Desmond Vane comes off of those Steven Adams screens. He gets to the mid-range shot that I mentioned in our first segment. He comes off of those Steven Adams screens to get his three-point shot. Some of it is off the ball as well. And also, we saw Steven Adams. If you watch the Grizzlies this past season, Steven Adams took a big jump as a playmaker. 3.4 assists per game for Steven Adams this past season. Steven Adams had never done that before. The most assists he had ever averaged in a season before that was 2.3 with Oklahoma City in 2019-20. If you take away that 2.3 assists, he had never averaged over two assists in an NBA season. Steven Adams, in his ninth season, just averaged 3.4 assists on the Grizzlies. A big reason is that is Steven Adams will tell you himself, because he's been asked about this. He talks about it a lot. And Steven Adams is, quite frankly, one of the smartest guys who, when you want to talk NBA talk, he can really break down things for you. And he was asked about it. And Steven Adams basically said, oh, it's you know, the humble. He gave you the humble approach in terms of saying that it's not him. It's not he's this, you know, Nikola Jokic level passer or anything. It's simply the way the NBA game is being played. So the NBA now, DHOs, dribble handoffs, and just, you know, big men handling the ball at the top and things like that, there's a bigger emphasis on this now. Think about Golden State. When Golden State runs a lot of those split actions and things like that, with Draymond Green being at the top of the key, or it used to be Andrew Bogut, you know, doing a lot of those things for 2014, 15, 16 Golden State as well. That has kind of trickled through basketball. You have your guards cutting off of it and things like that. Steven Adams, When he has the ball at the top of the key, he's always looking to pass. He's not going to take the mid-range shot. He'll dribble and post up if he wants to score on his own. But Steven Adams and Desmond Bane found a connection last season, unlike any other pairing on the Grizzlies from that positioning. Desmond Bane showed how willing of a cutter he is, how hard he cuts. Steven Adams looks for him, particularly when he's cutting, and they found chemistry through that. And that's why we saw with Desmond Bane, his two-point shooting was as good as it was last season. That's another thing. So even though the shot difficulty and things like that was still high, he shot 48% from the field on two-point shots. This is along with shooting 43.6% from three-point range. You combine those two things, you get a guy who's shooting around 50% on twos and over 40% from three-point line. Oh, he also shot 90% from free throw. So we're talking about a guy who's flirting with 50, 40, 90 territory with the way he's been playing basketball. Steven Adams makes it a lot easier for Desmond Bane. The cuts, the back cuts, like I said, and Desmond Bane will tell you himself, he's talked about this over and over, how well he plays off of Steven Adams. That's a big component to watch this upcoming season because of that chemistry between those two guys, and it's only going to get better. Here's another one. I've talked a lot about this. I've written about it at the Commercial Appeal as well, and that's Desmond Bane's playmaking ability. Because you look at the raw numbers, you see a 2.76 per game. He doesn't pass the ball that much. Not true. Not true. Desmond Bane was the guy who kept the Grizzlies afloat a lot of times. When Ja Morant went down and you saw Tyus Jones, you know, handle most of the boatload, when Tyus Jones went out the game, somebody had to be the backup point guard. And the Grizzlies didn't have another one just consistently on the roster. Sure, at times, you know, they brought up a couple guys from the G League hustle and things like that. But there wasn't a consistent third point guard on the roster at all the entire season. Well, Desmond Bane kind of stepped into that role. We mentioned it earlier, this summer league. Put him in uncomfortable situations, working out with Darko Rajkovic, the dribbling and all that. Desmond Bane found something. And over the course of the season, we saw, you know, I wrote a bigger story on this. You can check it out at commercialappeal.com, or you just Google like Desmond Bane playmaking. I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of the first things that pops up, this story, where it gives you very much detail in terms of how Desmond Bane went from a guy who mainly did a lot of spot-up shooting to being that de facto third point guard for the Grizzlies. How will that change this season? The Grizzlies have Kennedy Chandler. He's not going to be playing that role more. But there's another level of this with Desmond Bane. There's another level that can be unlocked. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the playmaking ability of Desmond Bane plus the cutting off of Steven Adams, cutting off of, you know, Jaren Jackson, Xavier Tillman, I thought in summer league, it was one of the things that impressed me the most about Xavier Tillman. The casual fan probably didn't pay much attention to. He had the ball at the top of the key a lot of times, and as guys were cutting off of him, he was making some really solid passes. The Grizzlies' offense will ask big men to make those decisions. Those are decisions that Steven Adams made a lot last season, Brandon Clark, and so forth. But at the end of the day, you have to have willing cutters. You have to have guys who can finish. Desmond Bane proved that he can be one of those guys for the Grizzlies. So we talked about the shooting, the mid-range, and all those things as it accords to Desmond Bane. And there's also the underrated skills, right? The cutting, and just playing off of Steven Adams and Drum with the screening, the cutting, and then the playmaking ability. Being that third point guard last season and the ability to, you know, become even a bigger playmaker this upcoming season. That's what we're about to talk about right now. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about what's the next level for Desmond Bane. He's a good player now. He's a really good player. He gets NBA level respect from players around the league. They know him as a shooter. How can he be that all-star? How can he be that de facto, you know, when John Morant's struggling, Desmond Bane's got it type of guy? We're going to talk about that coming up next. So I mentioned it with Desmond Bain, the playmaking. Here's the thing about playmaking. We saw Desmond Bain step into that third point guard role last season and succeed, by the way. Struggled early on, had to get used to it, but he succeeded overall. How did he succeed? Well, the Grizzlies offense, for one, it wasn't like he was put in some James Harden type role with the Houston Rockets where he was dribbling up the court and it was just heavy pick and roll and he dominated the basketball for 20 seconds. That wasn't the offense. Taylor Jenkins said it himself. Even though Desmond Bain in a lot of those sections, you know, in a lot of those situations was the quote-unquote point guard, the ball moved. The ball moved a lot. So he would bring the ball up the court. He would push the pace, yes. But the ball constantly moved. Why is that important when I'm talking about Desmond Bain and the next level of his growth? Well, because the Grizzlies are going to look a little bit different this upcoming season. The Grizzlies have 3 point guards on their roster now. They don't need Desmond Bain to be a backup point guard anymore. What they will need is him to be an improved secondary playmaker. What makes him a better secondary playmaker? Well, when the Grizzlies bring a basketball up the floor and, you know, they get into their sets, one thing, and talking with Grizzlies players and just, you know, just read between the lines some of the things that the coaches and the players have said throughout the season. When Ja Morant is on the floor, as great as the Grizzlies are, Jaren Jackson Jr. is one of the players I remember saying this specifically, is you can't get caught ball watching. What do they mean by that? When Ja Morant is out there making these insanely good plays that, you know, FedEx Forum goes crazy over and, you know, sports in the top 10 level plays, Desmond Bain can't be stuck standing in one corner. Zaire Williams can't be stuck standing in the other. Jaren Jackson can't be stuck standing on the wing. And Steven Adams can't be stuck standing on the block. You got to move. You got to move around. You got to make yourself available. And Jaren Jackson said it better. You can't get caught ball watching. Well, if you watch the Grizzlies with Tyus Jones last season, there were some notable differences in terms of how the ball moved, how the Grizzlies scored, how much more efficient they were from the three-point line, and, you know, just total assists per game when Tyus started in place of Ja Morant. Well, the reason for that is a lot of guys didn't get caught ball watching when Tyus Jones was on the floor. One, you know Tyus Jones is going to feed you the ball. You know Ja Morant's going to get you the ball too, but you know Ja Morant can get downhill and score a lot of times as well. Tyus Jones, not so much. He has the, you know, he has a nice smooth jumper. He has one of the best floaters in the NBA, as we've talked about time and time again. But Tyus Jones isn't going to put his head down, go to the rim at a seven-footer into his chest and finish around him. That's not his game. He's going to do his floater and things like that. But it seemed like over the course of the season, guys expected the ball more when Tyus Jones was in the game. Whereas with Ja Morant, you were more amazed. And I mean, why not? If I was on the court and I saw some of the things Ja Morant was doing too, I'd probably be standing in that corner, two hands ready just in case the ball comes as well. But I'm not going to move much because he doesn't need me to move much. I don't want to get in his way. It's probably what the thinking was a lot of times. But anyways, to that point, with Ja Morant on the floor, there's a whole nother level of Ja Morant that can be unlocked. There's a whole nother level of Desmond Bain that can be unlocked. And that is when those two guys are on the floor at the same time, making Desmond Bain a better secondary playmaker. When the Grizzlies get into their sets and he gets the basketball and Ja Morant moves off of the ball. Here's the thing that personally I believe we just haven't seen a lot, especially if you go back and look at some of his Murray State highlights, Ja Morant, that is, you will see how good of a cutter he was off of the basketball. We've seen it in glimpses throughout his first three NBA seasons. Glimpses. Now, we're talking about with Desmond Bain improving as a playmaker, improving his ball handling. Those two things improve for Desmond Bain. We get to see Ja Morant back cuts. Oh, I think this guy, you know, is you look at two of the best cutters for guards that were under 6'5 in the past 20 years. Two guys come to mind for me. Russell Westbrook in his early OKC days, when they had guys like Derek Fisher, James Harden, Kevin Durant, who would play on the ball, and that would allow Russell Westbrook to get off the ball and just destroy teams as a cutter. Dwayne Wade had the nickname Flash for a reason. He did a lot of his damage, you know, splitting pick and rolls and things like that, but he was deadly as a cutter off the ball as well. And we saw a lot of that early on in his time with LeBron James too, when he played with a playmaker at a whole different level before the injuries and things kicked in. But those two guys come to mind. And if you look at Ja Morant's paint scoring stats, who were they comparable to as guards this past season? Dwayne Wade, Russell Westbrook. Those were the two guys who had the best scoring paint seasons before Ja Morant eclipsed their scoring averages this year. So Desmond Bane helps Ja Morant if he steps into that secondary playmaking role. More. I think it's there for the taking. Desmond Bane actually thinks it's there for the taking. In his exit interviews, this was one of the things he talked about focusing on, doing more as a playmaker in that secondary role, not just a guy that's going to spot up and shoot and move off of the ball and things like that. He's going to add more to his skill set. And all that ball handling is a big part of it. I think there's another level of growth there that you need from Desmond Bane as a ball handler. He talked about, you know, this as well. And once that happens, he becomes better at being that secondary playmaker. Then it unlocks another level of Desmond Bane that I think is going to be important as well. And that's scoring off of the dribble. There's another thing that we saw in glimpses with Desmond Bane, but not enough. So let me explain. The Grizzlies this past season, great transition offense, right? Get out in transition. They like to run. Third fastest pace in the NBA. Taylor Jenkins talks about it all the time. Run, get up the floor, you know, transition offense, beating the defense up the floor, creating mismatches. All these things the Grizzlies were great at. They were not bad in half-court offense. Let's be clear here. The Grizzlies were not a bad half-court offense. It's just the fact that the Grizzlies were at the top of the league in transition scoring. It was so noticeable. The drop-off from transition to half-court offense was just so much more noticeable because of that gap. And a big reason for that is when the Grizzlies got into the half-court, you knew it was going to be pick-and-roll Ja Morant. And a lot of times, a lot of guys would be standing around. There wasn't much to defend, you know, in that situation for defenses to try to figure out. Well, Desmond Bane developing more off the dribble. Now you have that. If he becomes that player off the dribble who can, you know, isolate himself onto a guy and make those type of shots. Take, for example, when Ja Morant went down in the playoffs against Golden State. At that point, the Grizzlies were down 2-1, about to go down 3-1. And, you know, the Grizzlies went into that next game. They got a big win back at home. Blowout win, dominant win. And they went to the next game, game six, went back and forth for a lot of the game until that fourth quarter, Golden State opened the game up. That wasn't the first fourth quarter that Golden State opened the game up. It happened a couple times in that series. A big reason that happened is Golden State knows who Ja Morant is. This is a veteran, you know, proven NBA championship team. They know who Ja Morant is. They're going to force someone else to win the game in that latter part. We saw the half-court offense break down. That's why Desmond Bane's importance is significant. Signify, you know, it's needed. You need him to be a difference maker as a shooter. You need him to be a difference maker off of the dribble. You need him to be a difference maker in transition. And that's where the all-star level of play can come in for Desmond Bane. A lot of people are asking me now, they say, oh, when do you think Desmond Bane is going to make an all-star game? First, well, let's look around the West right now. Jamal Murray is going to be back healthy. Got Devin Booker. Donovan Mitchell still, you know, on the Jazz right now. Then you got all the point guards. Luka, Dame Lillard, Chris Paul. It's a lot of guys. It's a lot of guys around there. But at the end of the day, you know, CJ McCollum's around there as well. It's a lot of guys who factor into that conversation. But Desmond Bane is making headways. The shooter, mid-range shooting, the playmaking ability, things he needs to work on are all things that this guy stays in the gym. We're talking about one of the biggest gym rats on the Grizzlies. 9 times out of 10, Desmond Bane is in the gym. He's in the gym. He is going to be a big reason for the Grizzlies to take that next step. You talk about how can the Grizzlies improve? What do they need to do next? Desmond Bane is one of those guys who really has the keys to that. Internal growth is a big thing for this Grizzlies team. Zero acquired free agencies, zero acquired players through free agency so far. So they traded for Danny Green, who probably is going to miss most, if not all, of this next season. So you're basically depending on guys to take that jump. Internal growth. Desmond Bane is one of those guys, as great as he was last season, as good as he was to be in the Rising Star game, three-point shooting competition, one of the more consistent three-point shooters in the NBA. As good as he was, you say, hey, Desmond Bane, we like that 18 points per game. We're going to need 21 maybe next year. We're going to need 20 points per game for you. Same 40-plus percent three-point shooting. Maybe step up the overall field goal percentage. Yeah, 46 is good for you considering the shot difficulty level. Let's get a little bit closer to 50. You get that from Desmond Bane, and you have legitimately, arguably, this backcourt could be one of the top three in the entire NBA. But thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen each and every day. We talked about Desmond Bane today. There are some more players on this Grizzlies team who can take that next jump that we're going to talk about. But for your second listen, before you get ready and leave Locked On Grizzlies here, make sure you get caught up with the latest news around the entire league with the Locked On NBA podcast. See, right here we talk about Grizzlies on Locked On Grizzlies, right? It's nothing but Grizzlies for 30 minutes. You can go in that same amount of time frame, you go over to Locked On NBA right after you're done with Locked On Grizzlies. Won't take you long. And you can get the whole rundown of what's going on in the NBA. So you want to know what's going on with these trades. Why Rudy Gobert all of a sudden has held up the trade market. When we're talking about schedules and NBA schedules and things like that. What players could be in line to get contract extensions on other teams. And more than anything, Grizzlies fans, the reason you want to check out Locked NBA, Locked On NBA, is because the West is fierce. What are the Nuggets doing? What are the Mavs doing? What is the Southwest Division doing? What are the Suns, the Warriors? What are all these teams who could impact the Grizzlies season doing? Locked On NBA is where you go get that information. But thank you again, and we appreciate you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, DeMichael Cole, and we'll see you next time.